Welcome to Generous Impact. This is Brett Brummett.
And this is Amanda Brummett. We are joined today by Angela Enright, Chairman of the Board for Light Up to Live. In this episode, you'll hear how they are tackling veteran health issues with polychromatic light therapy systems to treat chronic pain, service dogs, and even physician-assisted psychedelic drug therapy for severe PTS cases. Well, Angela, thank you so much for being here with us today. It is so great to see your face after so many years. I would love for you to start by just telling us, our guests, who you are.
Absolutely. And thank you again for the invitation, Amanda and Brett. I'm a sixth-generation Texan. I'm super proud of that. So my Southeast Houston accent is likely going to shine through this interview. I come from a loving and extended family, most of whom reside in Texas. I'm a graduate of Texas A&M University with a BA in journalism, class of 82. Whoop! My father attended Rice University and studied biology and played baseball. There's a reason I bring him. He always wanted to go into medicine, but an unfortunate high school football head injury caused him to suffer from seizures for about 7 years, but all through his college years. So he curtailed medical school and became a teacher and a coach in the Houston Independent School District. Later, he transitioned into medical sales, and that became my first exposure to the idea of things outside of being a doctor that you can do in medicine. And I was always fascinated by what he was doing with blood analyzing machines. They were just becoming automated in the 70s. He would literally bring home the equipment to our garage, set up test demos for doctors, and then go the next day and sell them to these regional hospitals. So that's what sort of got me interested in the medical field and what things were and were not available to patients. After graduation, I moved to the DFW area, and I worked for a couple of newspapers doing business writing. I worked for a magazine. I worked for several advertising agencies, just trying to hone my very green skills. The efforts paid off. And in late 1989, the Four Seasons Resort and Club in Las Colinas, the first Four Seasons resort in the country, invited me to serve as director of public relations for their first truly luxury golf resort and private sports club in the state of Texas. So it was my job to tell the story and to get involved in the community and support the sales team who needed to book meetings and hotel rooms. That work led me to community outreach. We wanted to be everyone's darling in the community of Irving, Texas. And so I connected with our local hospital, who was just launching a new cancer center. And working with the Irving Healthcare Foundation, I was introduced to incredible talents in the fundraising world. Patricia Carnell, an SMU grad, John Drake, who now is acting president. Amanda, I think you know John.
Oh, yes.
Just legends in their industry. And so I feel like they were so welcoming and teaching me how to be a good board member, how to be a great fundraiser, and how to be good stewards of our sponsors' money. And I served on the foundation board for Pat and then later for John for over 20 years, and either in a board member role or a chairmanship role. Also on the Baylor Scott and White Irving Hospital Board, and also for the Irving Hospital Authority. So all of that experience helped evolve my appreciation of not-for-profits and how good ones are run and how poor ones, you know, are run, and the do's and don'ts of good fundraising. Through that effort, our Four Seasons, and with my leadership and the leadership of our managers, we raised more than $2 million for the cancer center so that patients in Irving didn't have to go elsewhere to get cutting-edge treatment. And that is what really inspired me to keep staying in the nonprofit world and doing what I could to influence better medicine for the community.
I don't know that it should go unpassed that over 20 years serving on a board is a huge commitment in and of itself. And you're not talking about just a passive, like, I'll check in and check the box board. Those are really intense, active membership roles.
They are. They require a lot of time, a lot of relationship building, understanding of how to read financial statements, You know, they didn't teach me all of that with my journalism degree, but John and Patricia and other board members, you know, we worked closely together to make sure we were representing the community really, really well. And it was, I was super proud to, one, have raised all that money, but to have helped grow that foundation, which is still in a very healthy position in serving the community of Irving. And I love the way they collaborate, and they're just fantastic stewards of their money. And that they set the benchmark for me for how other not-for-profits should be run.
Yeah, I think there's several of those, especially for me, the John Drake conversations that still are the questions I ask anyone in the nonprofit world of the metrics. And those are really how I still measure things by, which is amazing. So with Light Up to Live, can you first give us a little bit of the background on the Reed family and like what compelled them to really launch the organization? And, you know, I have a second follow-up question, but that's my first question.
That's okay. So the entire time I'm working at Four Seasons, in 1998, my husband became a business partner with Randall Reed and the Reed family. The Reed family are founders of the world-class automotive group. They manage seven different Ford and Lincoln franchises in the state of Texas, some in Houston, some one in Huntsville, and two in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Actually, three in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And my husband had always been in the automotive business. We actually met in high school. He, too, is a cancer survivor, so he was always super interested in what we were doing with the Baylor Scott & White. So when he and Randall Reed became business partners, we had this window into their family and to their children, and they were young at the time. And I always knew that the kids were talented and they were going to grow up to do wonderful things. So time sped forward, and here I am in 2012, and Randall Reed and Jeff Enright, my husband, call me and ask me if I would consider coming to work for them and to help them manage their new luxury franchise for the Lincoln Motor Company. And it was an opportunity I couldn't pass up. I'd never had the chance to work side by side with my husband, so it came in an opportune time. Well, about that time, the Reed's eldest son was graduating from college and deciding whether he wanted to go into the family business or not. And he surprised everyone by telling his family he wanted to join the military. And of course, it's a huge emotional leap for any parent to take with their child. I can't even imagine what those conversations were like between Randall and his mother and father and the son. And I'm going to be real protective of their children's names because of they are a military family and still active in that arena. But when the Reeds had an opportunity to meet their son's extended military family, they quickly realized that many of the soldiers coming back from war had serious issues reintegrating into civilian life. Many of them came back with missing limbs, post-traumatic stress, moral injury, brain trauma, depression, and they felt completely alienated from the country they left. And none of it their own design. They'd given everything they had. And this absolute, you know, realization by the Reeds just broke their hearts. Their son was doing fine, but many other families could not say the same of their sons and daughters who were returning from service. And ironically, at about the same time, Sherry Reed suffered from a stroke in and a sports accident. They're a very, very active family. They're doing skiing and they're snowmobiling and they play tennis and they've always been a super active family. And as she was recovering from this stroke as a result of a sports injury, she was introduced to the benefits of polychromatic light therapy. And she and Randall were so impressed with how it helped and sped up her recovery in terms of her cognitive thinking, the healing of the brain tissue. It was super obvious on the, you know, medical x-rays and things that the brain was healing well, that they decided to invest in the product and met with the inventor, David Malone, and became business partners with him. And their goal was to see how far they could take the product because they'd never seen it used to treat the veteran community. One, it's probably at the price range of most people. They read that the systems retail for about $5,000. But their goal was to get them at cost and then donate them to veterans who might benefit from them.
So from there, I mean, you're in the midst, you've seen it all go on. What, and I feel like this is a full circle moment to your family that you're alluding to us earlier. So is that what drew you back into this whole process?
Well, Randall figured out pretty quickly that the only way that it made sense to get these light therapy systems into the hands of veterans was to create a nonprofit where he could get the funds, that we could connect with other nonprofits who had real connections to veterans. And he didn't know where to start with some of that. So he had my resume and he realized how much experience I had. And he just asked me, could you do this for me? And, you know, I couldn't say no. I want to help people. And I don't have anyone that served in the military in my family, but the Reeds are part of my extended family. So I couldn't say no. And I didn't see any reason to say no. I was seeing these same stories of veterans coming back who were having tremendous trouble. Some of them we tried to hire and they couldn't even work in our dealerships. They were still too traumatized to hold normal employment because they hadn't healed from their experience yet. So my job was to give some structure to his ideas to, you know, he got the paperwork done, he created the foundation. And then we started looking at who would make good board members, what we thought was a great first-year goal, second-year goal, third-year goal. Could we negotiate a rate from the inventor to get the light systems at a rate that we could afford? And then could we leverage the relationships of our automotive community to give us the money that we needed to buy the light systems? And the automotive community is a fairly tight-knit group, and it's also large at the same time, it's, you know, small, if that makes any sense. A lot of people in the automotive world, whether it's Ford or Lincoln or Chevy, they know each other or have worked for each other. And then there's this whole outer ring of vendors that support the automotive industry. So we felt like with all of those trusted relationships, the Reeds have been in business 30 years, and that we could convince people to follow us and that we would be good stewards of their money if they would be willing to support our cause. And that's what happened.
Brilliant. A good move.
Yeah.
Okay. So Angela, you've previewed the polychromatic light therapy a little bit. Let's step back and sort of talk about, now that you've got this idea, sounds like you've got some funding for the idea. What exactly are you guys going to serve veterans for? Understand chronic pain, PTS, which I want you to explain to everybody the difference between that and PTSD, brain trauma, depression. So let's talk about those diagnoses you guys care for. Sure. And then let's talk about the polychromatic light therapy, the service dogs, psychedelic treatment. Just give us the whole spiel.
The whole spiel. Okay. So one of the ways that I could best explain it is we began an immediate relationship with the Adaptive Training Foundation in Carrollton, Texas. They serve veterans who are coming back into civilian life who have had traumatic injuries. That might be a missing limb. It might be several missing limbs. It might be an actual tissue injury to the brain. That would be brain trauma. You also have concussive injuries from, like, say, a roadside bomb where your brain isn't actually penetrated with shrapnel or anything, but the concussive damage of your brain hitting back and forth against the skull might as well be brain trauma. It still has to heal from that. Those two items alone create a tremendous amount of pain, the chronic brain injury, chronic pain from limb loss. That type of chronic pain from limb loss is what some people know as phantom pain, where you still feel the pain of the injured limb, even though the limb isn't there anymore. Your body and your brain remember that you have a limb, a missing limb, and it still feels like it's there and present and injured. And it can drive someone nuts to constantly live with pain that they physically can't see, but they can feel inside their body. So a lot of veterans will turn to painkillers because that's all that doctors have to offer them. The polychromatic light therapy offers three different types of light waves. So there's ultraviolet, infrared, and then a white light. And it's packaged in a polyurethane foam pad that you can literally wrap around a limb or across your chest or around your shoulders or around your head. And you turn the machine on for 20 minutes and it stimulates blood flow to those injured tissues. And the blood flow happens to be highly oxygenated, more so than normal blood flow. Does that make sense?
Totally.
And that seems to be the calming effect for the damaged tissues and nerves, that extra highly oxygenated blood at the cellular level. Something is taking place there that creates better nerve endings, heals nerve endings, and calms the pain radically. We are now finding that for 3 sessions a day of just 20 minutes of light therapy, some of our veterans are telling us that after 6 weeks, they've gone from a pain level of an 8 to a 2 and to some a 0 after only 6 weeks of healing. It's really incredible.
Yeah.
So once you take away the pain or the level of pain, then you can start addressing the depression, because some people are depressed because they feel miserable all the time and they can't do what they want to do. Some people are experiencing depression because they've had moral injury during their time in service. They've had to witness and see things that they can never come to terms with mentally and emotionally. I think we can all understand that. But if you can help relieve the pain and give them hope about that part of their recovery, then it's easier to treat the depression and to deal with the cognitive function that, you know, that is obviously disrupted by all these other things. Does that help?
It does.
More explanation?
And I think I know the answer to this, otherwise your foundation wouldn't exist, but these aren't things that we would already provide to people that have served our country.
You would think. So in the beginning, they weren't FDA approved, and it took almost 10 years to get them through the FDA process. Now they have tentative approval, but only for reducing pain, increasing circulation. I think they do a lot more, but that's what the FDA says they're approved for now. It's only been until the last 2 years that the VA will pay for these machines, but it's almost impossible to get them.
Mm.
It takes so long to do the paperwork and to get them. We're about fulfilling the need immediately.
For sure.
Person's in pain. They don't need another 6 months of waiting to get an appointment, to get another diagnosis, that someone is going to say, well, have you tried painkillers? Yes, I have. Well, maybe try this other one before you get a light system. So there's a lot of other unfortunate red tape before the VA will pay for a light therapy system.
That is heartbreaking.
It is.
I'm really glad that you guys are working on it.
This is not a diss on the VA.
No, no, no.
Let's admit, they do amazing thing, but mm-hmm. they cannot be everything to everybody all the time.
Right.
And we feel like we're filling in those small gaps and going to the heart of the problem in our community more immediately and faster so that we can stop our veterans from thinking about killing themselves.
Yeah, exactly. You're removing barriers.
Removing barriers.
Well, I'm just listening from it for that financial side going, you know, 5,000 versus painkiller medications, therapies, the other, you know, offshoots that happen. We're not talking about a huge difference probably in what you're talking about spending in a 3-year time span.
Correct. Correct. You're absolutely right. But for someone who is maybe only working part-time, that idea of paying for something retail is it's not even up for discussion.
You know, no, we can't have an extra $300 sitting around spare. Having $5,000, you're not getting from point A to point B without assistance,
right.
Which is amazing that you guys do that.
And if I can do the treatment 3 times a day with my own device, I can actually probably still work instead of having to go somewhere. Yeah,
and you're not having to go to your physical therapist's office to do it. You could do it in private in your own home. And I can't, it's taken a while to get some traction for us to donate enough of the systems to start getting testimonials back. Mm-hmm. And simply ask the veteran, did you use it the way we ask you to? And did you get any relief from it? Please tell us, yes, you know, whatever it is, we just need to know. If it's no, we need to know that too. If it's yes, tell us how it worked for you.
Mm-hmm.
The type of testimonials we're getting back now are simply shocking to me. We had one from Frank G just yesterday, suffered terrible injuries in a roadside bomb in his tactical vehicle. 7 years of chronic pain that he's been on painkillers. He just wrote us that he used the system religiously for 45 days, and now he has no pain. And now he can do his workouts, and he can go to work, and he's not having to take any pain medications, even, you know, over-the-counter Aleve. And he's telling his buddies. So the systems are starting to fly off the shelves now that we've gotten into the hands of enough veterans, because it's a very tight-knit community, and they tell each other, you know, one veteran to another, what's working or not working for them.
So I was going to ask you about the standout stories. That's obviously one of them.
That's one of them.
What other parts, what other testimonials have you come through that you've seen that really stand out like that one?
Okay, sure. There's another one. I can use this guy's last name because he's great. He's practically one of our ambassadors. His name is Keith Murphy. Keith served in the Army for 8 years, and he was fortunate to not come out with physical injuries until shortly after he retired from the military. He was in a motorcycle accident of no fault of his own. Someone ran into him. He was totally enjoying himself and then ran a red light. And the next thing he knows, he's in the hospital and his leg has been amputated at the hip. So here's someone who served our country, comes back and is in this terrible accident. And he was having a very hard time getting over the fact that he'd had such an active life and now comes home and he has this life-altering injury. He has to have a wheelchair. He has to go through physical therapy. He's in tremendous amount of phantom pain. There were other injuries to his abdominal area that he deals with. He has a wife and three daughters to support. He was a truck driver and doing everything he could for his country. Keith is maybe in his early 40s. And he decided to go to the Adaptive Training Foundation to get some physical therapy. They cater to veterans there, and they work on their mental health as well as their physical health, teaching them how to physically use their body in ways they never believed possible, particularly for someone that's missing a limb. You know, they have no boundaries, and they really encourage veterans to participate in athletic events that are designed for them and to push themselves mentally and physically. So Keith goes to the Adaptive Training Foundation, has a tremendous experience there for 8 weeks, but he's still in terrible chronic pain. And we decide to supply him with a wheelchair that is lighter weight that he can lift on his own. The one he had was super heavy. And so for Christmas 2 years ago, we gave Keith a very lightweight, very cool wheelchair. And while he was at our office receiving that gift, we gifted him with a light therapy system because he had not received one yet through the Adaptive Training Foundation that we had given. We showed him how to use it. And literally at our office, he's doubled over in pain and wincing and apologizing for not being able to finish his sentences because the pain is taking his breath away. So we teach him how to use the system. He takes it home. About 40 days later, he calls us and says his pain is gone. His pain is gone. He's deliriously happy. He says, how do I tell the world? I said, well, let's do a video. And so Keith became our first video testimonial. He's on our website. And I've never met a more resilient young man and advocate of our light therapy. And he's a changed person now. He's traveling all over the world and talking about the effects of light therapy and of being active and taking responsibility, even if you have adaptive needs. Taking responsibility for your own happiness and your own things that you can do and contributions you could make, even as an adaptive athlete.
That's incredible. That's so heartwarming.
Yeah.
I am curious, and I know you probably don't have numbers on this because I don't even know how we would begin to get numbers. But, you know, when you look at trajectory for people that come back and are veterans, the suicide rates are unacceptably high. And then I hear a story about somebody like that that is now thriving. He's not just living.
Yeah, thriving.
I wonder, do you even have a gauge or a guess of how what you guys are doing is reducing that risk?
I can tell you one thing. I believe in my heart, and I've heard from other veterans that are more engaged at a higher level in government than I am, that the public suicide rate for veterans is 23 a day. The actual rate is believed to be 50 a day. So that's pretty mind-numbing when you think about it. And I just heard that statistic this past October from a Navy SEAL who's deeply involved in veteran health. And all I can tell you is we've delivered 345 light therapy systems to veterans at the Adaptive Training Foundation in Carrollton, Texas. They don't usually go there unless they've been at the abyss of suicide and now have found some type of motivation to get their body back in shape, and they want to live. And they go through their physical therapy, they get their light therapy, and they're already ahead of the game of some of the veterans that we meet who aren't even at that stage yet, willing to try something else. Some of them have been so, I guess, saddened by the fact they've tried so many different treatments and therapies and talk therapy and different drugs and different antidepressants, and nothing seems to work. And at least to date, in the 7 years that we've been supporting veterans in our realm of influence, we haven't lost any of them to suicide. So I have to take some comfort in that.
That's incredible.
I know other organizations aren't that fortunate, but that sort of leads me to the other two dynamics that we fundraise for, because we like to run towards whatever's working, okay? Not the same old stuff, but whatever's working. And so service dogs came up because, again, the Reed family had a personal need for a service dog to support Sherry Reed while she was going through her stroke recovery. They were so impressed with the service dog organization that produced their dog for them that they decided that we could raise enough money to fund service dogs for veterans, because many of them need a service dog to help them do tasks. Mm-hmm. And so the types of service dogs we fund are they're 100% task oriented, and it takes 18 to 24 months to train them. The average cost is about $30,000, including insurance and vet bills and feeding the dog while they're being trained. The success rate is only about 50% for those service dogs.
Wow.
Only 50% go on to be task-oriented in a way that they can serve a veteran with high needs. And those needs would include opening doors, closing doors, retrieving objects, waking them from disturbing nightmares, anticipating seizures, anticipating migraines, bringing them medications. I mean, like having a nurse by your side, being a buffer for those veterans in the community. A lot of our veterans don't like to be in a crowd. They don't like someone in their personal space. And the dogs are trained to be buffers, physical buffers around their body when the veterans go out in public, whether that's to a movie or the grocery store. Going to an ATM machine can be scary. So the dog stands behind the veteran and between their legs to keep a watch out so that no one walks up on them. Does that make sense?
Totally. Yes.
These are incredible skills that take highly intelligent dogs. Most of them are German Shepherds, Labradors, or Golden Labs. And the first year that we funded, there was a huge outpouring. People really wanted to fund the dogs because there's a personal attachment to a puppy, right? But there's also a risk. You don't know if that puppy's going to make it to the finish line and being a service dog rather than a companion dog or a community service dog. Does that make sense, the difference?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So a service dog is one that doesn't overreact to noises, one that's comfortable around strangers, that is highly in tune to their veteran that they're serving and is not easily distracted from the task. So those are the type of skills that trainers are looking for. So our first year, we funded two service dogs, and they were immediately placed with two amazing veterans who desperately needed their support. The next year, there was a demand for, or we were able to fund five service dogs. So all of these dogs are sort of in the training process, and we're trying to work with other organizations to get them placed, specifically with veterans who have served after 9/11, ideally. And so we worked with a group out in California called Patriot Paws, highly efficient, low overhead, super skilled trainers that have military background. We were having our best luck getting service dogs from them. And we would commit and make a deposit for the puppy, and then they would start the training. We'd make another payment as the dog would progress, and we'd see that, yes, it was going to make the cut. And then we do our final payment upon delivery to a veteran. So that system worked really well for quite a while. But our donors wanted to do more dogs, so we had to find someone that could take on more dogs. So we found Patriot Paws in Rockwall, Texas. We loved it that they're right in our backyard. There's a huge affiliation with Texas A&M University. A lot of the students at A&M are puppy raisers. That's to help the dog socialize while they're young and to get them used to being in social, lots of different social settings. So we currently have three or four dogs at Patriot Paws in Rockwall just waiting to graduate to also be placed with veterans. And that brings us to Canine Companions, which is based in Irving, Texas. That organization has six offices around the country, and they specifically graduate Labradors and Golden Labs. And again, the success rate is only about 50%, but they cater not just to veterans, but to other clients with adaptive needs. It might be a chronic disease or someone with cerebral palsy, a young person that needs companionship. So they serve a broad range of needs for service animals. But ours, we specifically only fund for veterans. And so we just placed two dogs through Canine Companions in Irving with two veterans, one in the Dallas area and one in the Hill Country area, both of whom are suffering. They've been out of the military for a while, but they have a lot of physical damage to their bodies. One of them was a trooper, and so his joints are just not working, and he needs a physical support to stand up or to sit down. And then another one has terrible nightmares, and so his dog is trained to help interrupt those nightmares and to help him be out in public in a more comfortable way.
It's incredible. Hearing a theme throughout all of these questions, yeah, that you guys, you're nimble, and as your veterans' needs change, you move quickly. And I remember when you and I were talking about the organization originally, you were talking about how you're intentionally small and lean, which would lend to nimbleness. Can you talk about how that benefits your recipients and why you're intentional about it?
Well, one of the beauties of working and being affiliated with the world-class automotive organization is that there's a lot of talent among the 1,000 employees across the state. All of them are super motivated and very dedicated to the Reed family. So the Reed family starts their foundation, but it is a public charity. But everyone was raising their hands, I want to help, I want to help. And so we were able to sort of cherry pick skills from existing employees. So they're already being paid to do their real job. And then they give us a little piece of their volunteer time to do our accounting and to help with marketing and to help with graphics and to help with website design. And they're doing that at no charge and on their own time, but we have this high level of confidence in their skill set. Does that make sense? So to me, it's a great formula for a new charity if they can align themselves with a talented corporation with volunteers that understand the mission. It's a great way to cut your cost. So the World Class Automotive Organization also owns an office building, and they were generous enough to give us a tiny little bit of office space. It's about 1,000 square feet. We do pay rent, but the rent is very modest, and it's where we store our light systems and where our executive director sits. So our one paid employee is Maureen Ellis. She's an incredible volunteer. She was an incredible volunteer for the American Heart Association. We hired her to work for us, and we pay her well because we depend on her loyalty, and she runs our day-to-day operations, and she is the face and the contact for each of these partner charities that we work with. Does that make sense? Our
yes.
service dog partners, our light therapy partners, and now will be our physician-assisted drug therapy partners. And so she's the face and the daily contact for all of our partners, and she helps us organize our board meetings. The rest of us are volunteers. And so we're happy to pay Maureen to keep things running smoothly, and we try not to overcomplicate our lives. We do 3 fundraising events a year, a golf tournament, a dinner, appreciation dinner, and a clay shoot. And they're all done in 1 week. So that frees up
Smart.
All of us to do whatever we need to do the rest of the year. And then there's that real intense focus in October when we do our fundraising. That allows the Reed family to travel and do the things they need to do for business. It allows Maureen to focus on relationships during the year and then fundraising once a year. So there's not a lot of constant distractions. The other thing we learned quickly during COVID is that we could raise more money not having a gala. We don't do galas anymore. They're too expensive. They're too labor intensive for us. They're exhausting. And not a lot of people want to go to them anymore, at least our donors.
But I don't anymore.
No. And so we go through that phase, but we've grown out of it now. But you know what was super effective? This private, intimate donor appreciation dinner. We never intended to do fundraising at this appreciation dinner. And now it's become our biggest fundraiser because our donors, we connected with them so personally. We showed them mm-hmm. the results of our fundraising and of their money being put to good use by our veterans, by the service dogs, by all of these entities. They're like, what can we give right now? You know, we want to pay for a service dog for next year, and we want to do more light systems. So it's become this very emotional dinner, and we limit it to 100 people. And we raise a lot of money in that room, and it only takes 2 hours. So I can't explain it any other way except that there's a lot of trust. There's a lot of great business relationships and a lot of people that feel confident that their money is going to go in the right place.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Well, you guys have done a lot in a fairly short amount of time. So what is next for Light Up to Live?
So what is next for Light to Live? And I don't want to forget about the physician-assisted drug therapy.
Yes.
Segue to that first.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. So last year, we were introduced by another donor to Amber and Marcus Capone. Marcus served SEAL Team 6 for 10 years, one of the highest... secretive, most military operation on the planet. He and his team were doing those missions. He served for 10 years. When he came out, he missed his comrades. He missed the adrenaline rush of those tasks. He missed a lot of things that job brings to a person that's willing to do it. But what he came back to was a family that didn't recognize him. So he got 2 grown children, and a beautiful wife who were just waiting to see their dad back home and their husband come back. And that didn't happen. Marcus wasn't himself, and there was no spark in his eye. He had a very short temper. He didn't want to be at home. Nothing made him happy. And it was very traumatic for their family and for his wife. She knew he was in there somewhere, but she didn't recognize him. So as they tried different things, antidepressants, all these different crazy brain trauma machine things where they spin you around in circles and in a centrifuge, all these things, they're supposed to be cutting edge technology. Nothing was working. In fact, Marcus was getting worse and his depression was worse and he wanted to take his life. And Amber knew she only had a short amount of time because it was getting very bad. And they kept having to attend funerals of their friends who had committed suicide, who had served with Marcus. And finally, she convinced him to try physician-assisted psychedelic drug therapy. And he was like, what do I have to lose? I'm ready to take my own life. So they got an appointment with this clinic in Mexico City that's been doing it for 20 years, but there's no clinics in the United States at this point because they're not legal. He went in on a Friday, had his therapy, came out on a Sunday, walked down the hallway, and there she, Amber, was standing waiting to greet him. And she said, "Oh my God, he's back. There's Marcus, my husband. I recognize him." He had this light in his eye again, and he was beaming, smiling like he'd never, he said, "I've never felt better." And it was obviously life-changing for them. And so they made a personal commitment to leave everything they were doing other job-wise and to totally focus on getting this experience to their veteran community, particularly those in special operations and anyone that served after 9/11. So what that meant was paying for travel and paying for the actual therapy with the physician. Again, a $5,000 expense, but someone has to organize it and there's paperwork to fill out and there's travel to arrange. And they create a foundation that does all of that. So in the past several years, their organization is called VETS, Veterans Exploring Treatment Solutions. You have to look it up. They're an amazing couple. And they've put 1,000 veterans through this program in Mexico City. The success rate is 90%. And some of the veterans go back for a second treatment a year later, but they're having incredible results. It's the drug that they're using is called Ibogaine, and it comes from a Central African plant called the Ibogata plant. There's 5 or 6 other drugs that are also being explored, but this is the one that seems to have the most success for the most people. And 90% success rate is pretty impressive to me. So Marcus spoke at our fundraiser this year, the appreciation dinner, and we were able to raise $120,000, which will send, 10 or 15 veterans for treatment. And at one of the events that we held, Marcus spoke, this was just in October, and there was a veteran in the room listening with just tears streaming down his cheeks. Obviously, it was a moving presentation, but this guy was really having trouble. He wanted to take his life. He walked straight over to Amber and Marcus, and they gave him his card, and they promised to contact him. And they did, within the week, contact this young man. And he's already been to treatment. They already got him into treatment. And I have a Zoom call with this young man tomorrow because he's so grateful. Because it was our funding that got him there and the message that we were able to bring. He just happened to be a guest of one of our sponsors. And so another life saved is the way I look at that.
Incredible. Yeah, I love it.
Incredible. So you asked me...
What's next? Yeah.
So here we are doing our little fundraising and money in, money out, feeling really good about that. And then someone kept asking me, another one in the fundraising industry, "Gee, what about grant writing?" We had never even thought about grant writing or applying for grants or any other type of funding. We just felt like we were so different that maybe no one would be interested in what we were doing. But apparently the life therapy systems really set us apart from other not-for-profits. So we have hired Wise Resources, run by Tanya Wise. Amanda, do you know Tanya Wise?
Brett and I both know Tanya very well.
She worked with John Drake as well. So Tanya has one of those companies that helps other not-for-profits get up to speed. So she's currently doing an evaluation of our organization and getting us grant ready. So I'm super excited about that because I feel like it's another piece of the puzzle that we're finally ready to put in place. Before then, I wanted to feel more confident about our partners and about our success stories before I started opening up, you know, us totally to grant writers, because you have to really have your books in order and everything. And we do. But I didn't know what the current climate was for receiving grants. And so Tanya is teaching us how to do that. We just sent her about 100 pages worth of documents, and she's going to evaluate how ready we are to go out and ask the rest of the world for money. I'm excited about it.
That is a super exciting next step, and to take that leap will be amazing and be awesome to see where you guys go when that comes to fruition, for sure.
I know.
Yeah. I mean, you introduced us to so many of the good partnerships you're working with right now, which is amazing that you know, so intimately involved with all of them and be able to give us, you know, the details about that. We can see where you, you know, goes through there. So, you know, there's a lot to do, a lot going on. What can our community do for Light Up to Live along this journey? How can we partner with you?
The way you can partner is visit our website, lightuptolive.org, and kind of poke around the different pages. I want others to feel inspired by the testimonials and to feel confident in those stories. They're real people with real stories, and they're people who have served our country. And then I want you to consider a gift. What would be super helpful to us, particularly this year, is our light systems, like I said, are literally flying off the shelves. And we just bought $100,000 worth of light therapy systems. We will go through all of those in 2024. And so we're going to need to replenish that supply. We've actually are doing a smaller system so that they're a little bit more affordable and portable. They do the same work, but the big system just has a lot more pads and wires and contraptions. This one's a little more portable and a little more affordable. So for $1,000, you too can support a veteran with a take-home light system. And if you prefer to support service dogs, feel confident that we will find a service dog that's going to make it to a veteran. And any amount of money toward a service dog is appreciated. You don't have to pay the whole $30,000. You can pay $500, and that pays for some of those dogs' food supplies or veterinary bills during that time that he's in training or she's in training. So any level of gift is appreciated. And then finally, for our psychedelic drug therapy, the physician-assisted therapy, those are monies that we collect and pass through straight to vets. And it's really, again, just our sphere of influence and feeling confident that we know that they're going to deliver on what they say they're going to deliver. That's kind of our litmus test. Mm-hmm. Did they do within like 6 months what they promised what they were going to do? And that's why we love the partners that we have right now, because they do deliver. They do deliver on the goods. And we appreciate that very much. So go to our website, consider a gift of any amount, and feel confident that those funds are going to end up supporting a veteran that has served our country that needs it.
That is awesome. And thank you so much for that. All the volunteer time you've put in here, all the volunteer time you put in before, and just hearing the full journey all the way back from the childhood experience with your dad.
I know.
All the way through today is pretty amazing. So thank you so much.
Pretty cool. I don't think my story is unique, but thank you for listening today. And I appreciate both of you.
Wow. Those stories that Angela shared about the veterans served are both heartbreaking and heartwarming. I'm so thankful that the Reed family saw a need and decided to help fill it. If you're interested in learning more, check out the organization at lightuptolive.org.